Where are you from again when you talk? Banged up real good.
I'm from Kentucky. Does it show?
Yeah. When you say they got banged up real good, they did.
Real good.
Real good. Well, following the diversity row at the Oscars, Straight Outta Compton will be reshot with a bear attack. All right, Black Bear. Well, what do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we catch up with New York Magazine's Frank Rich, plus all the news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who has no intention of going anywhere until he finds his keys, Michael Feldman.
Yes, sir, I'm not going nowhere, as you say. Kentucky? I don't know. Hey, how you doing then? All right, good. Well, in all the news that isn't, the Rolling Stones announced a free concert in Cuba. Their first in Cuba since the Batista regime. Batista regime, Cuba. Look it up. ISIS lines up behind Tim Cook and Apple in support of the impregnable iPhone. You join ISIS now, you get an AK-47 and an iPhone 6 Plus Gold. While supplies last. When they run out, they just overrun another Apple store somewhere in the Levant. Levant. Never mind. Reports say that Osama bin Laden was worried his wife had a tracking device in her tooth. And she only had the one. But he was too gentlemanly to... Well, no, the question really comes down to, but which, you know, which wife, which tooth? 6 times 32, you could do the math on that one. Besides, it probably wasn't in her tooth at all. Actually, he may have put a tracking device in her tooth himself to keep track of her and just forgot he did it. You know, he was not a young man. Anyway, that wasn't really a story, I guess. Let's go to the real news. Mitt Romney? Okay, I'll make sure you get these references here. They could be my last. Calls on Donald Trump to be shunned. But I'm pretty sure he's not even Latter-day Saint, so I don't think you can shun a Presbyterian. They don't like it. You know, they're like rich Lutherans. They don't take to that shunning. Okay, anyhow. Religion never gets a big laugh because, you know, some of my best friends are Presbyterians. Let's see, President Obama, President. Thank you for catching that one. Says he will be staying in Washington during his presidency. Oh, excuse me, that should read after his presidency. Mr. Obama's Supreme Court nominee is in limbo, so it's unclear whether God or the devil will vet this one. Could go either way. His surprise pick of Donald Trump's lawyer did not sit well with a lot of folks outside of the Donald himself, of course. Best little litigator you ever saw. He has never lost. The man for the Supreme Court. Another news still, also not funny, I'm sure, is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. A lot of fans here, Chick-fil-A? Oh, you gotta like it. I don't know what they do to it, but there's something in there that's different. Huh?
Cook it.
Oh, they cook some, they do. Yeah, I'm sure they cook it. Don't they all cook it? I don't. Okay. Chick-fil-A is offering cell phone coupes when you go to Chick-fil-A now, where you can check your phone. You have to check your phone in there. So diners can pay full attention to their guns while eating. You want to fiddle with them both, you know, that can get confusing. While dining, I mean, did I say eating? You know, you dine at Chick-fil-A. As in, hun, let's dine at Chick-fil-A. Just bring the Derringer. We won't be there long. Anyhow, after spilling fruit salad on a fresh suit of clothes, Ben Carson is out of the race. Ben Carson? Yes, okay. Never mind. College cafeterias are banning energy drinks because of the connection they have to unabated five-hour sex. Retirement homes, meanwhile, are laying them in by the truckload. And remember, if you have more than 5 hours of energy, ring the night nurse. It's looking more and more like the presidential race will be a playground bully versus a tough girl who's not afraid of him. Okay. That's too abstract. Okay, I'm sorry. Bernie Sanders, feel the burn? Still feeling the burn? Has been campaigning more and more at early bird specials. Tuna salad on toast, Sanka, and a small fruit plate. Just a small fruit plate. All he needs. Cruz and Rubio, who bonded during their full frontal assault on Donald Trump, are actually, they bonded so much, they are now opening a class action law firm in Miami, Cruz, Rubio, and Moskowitz. Three Cubans. All righty. They were going to call it Three Cubans at first, but. First order of business for President Donald Trump, John Oliver's visa. Come on, that was a lot better than that. Even John Oliver would like that one. The Trump cabinet will be apprentice winners seasons 1 through 12. So Bill Rancic through Arsenio Hall will serve in the cabinet of President Trump. Can't say that enough. The Google self-driving car defects to Uber. More on this. He's driving around right now by himself, so I say he. Could be either sex, I suppose. And finally, learning a new sport is said to be good for the brain right up to the concussion. That's all the news. Thank you so much. Oh, we got so much news. Oh, we didn't even get to any of it. Oh, there's news. Why do they call it news when it's old by the time you hear it? And I got to get a pen out here because I'm going to talk with Frank Rich, and I always like to have a pen in my hand because he says things that I always want to write down. Is that, yeah, it works. Frank Rich is in New York City. Frank Rich used to write the opinion page on Sundays in the New York Times, you know, and was the only man who actually explained what was going on in the Middle East there. We decided we had to invade one of them countries, Iran or Iraq. And he was a lifesaver. He was the only like voice of reason. So I love the guy for that. Love you, Frank. It's not on yet, so I can say that. Also, he is a producer on Veep. He is, I believe he's Selena Meyer's, Vice President Selena Meyer's brain there. It's all actually Frank Rich in there. Would you welcome, please, from New York City, Frank Rich. Hi, Frank. How are you? Are you there?
Hello?
Frank.
Hello.
Frank Rich.
I seem to have lost the volume just now.
You did? Can you hear it now?
Very faintly.
Faintly?
Okay. I could hear you perfect during the monologue.
Oh, you could. Well, can we turn me up for Frank? And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. So the Veep season is all over. It just wrapped up, didn't it?
We just wrapped up. We shot most of it in Los Angeles this year, but we just did a week in Washington, and it ended yesterday.
It did, huh?
And I'm excited about it. I'm not objective about it, but it's been tremendous fun to work on it.
What a great show.
Thank you.
One of the outstanding shows of all time, I have to say. And
that,
of course, my saying that means nothing, but it still is anyway. You know.
Well, no, I appreciate it. I trust your sense of humor, so I'm thrilled that you like it.
Brilliant. What is your now? You're a producer on that, right?
Yeah, I've been involved with it since the very beginning.
Yeah.
And being a producer, no one quite knows what it is, but actually, and it can be different things on different shows and different people, but I'm sort of involved with all of it from the beginning generation of scripts to casting to, you know, diplomacy on set to being there,
diplomacy.
Watching cuts. It's very all-involving. And for someone like me who originally began as a theater nut, it's been incredibly exhilarating, I have to say.
Now, this diplomacy on the set, what is that?
It means you've got, you know, 100, 150 people working incredibly long hours.
Mm-hmm.
And our set is a really happy one and calm one, but, you know, sometimes people get aggravated, including me. And, you know, part of a producer's job is to be there, kind of like being, I don't know, like a managing editor of a newspaper or a magazine, really, to help make sure people are happy, things run on time, and or not, and, yeah, and the rest of it.
But JLD, she's not a prima donna, right?
I have to say, one of the two or three, or maybe the best thing working on the show is that Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who I had never met. In fact, I got involved with Veep before she was even cast.
Really?
Is just a fantastic person. She's obviously a very extremely talented actor and comic actor, but also serious actor. Yeah. And she is just an incredibly hardworking person. She is the first one on set every day getting stuffed into a wig. And she stays to the
end. And the last one getting pulled out of it at night.
Yes, and she's there till the end. You know, she'll stay for scenes that she's not in, even though she's in most scenes. Yeah. And she's just a fantastic comic mind about
You don't have to sell me. I'm in love with her. I've always been in love with her.
Yeah,
for as long as I can remember.
Well, it's love well placed.
Yeah.
One thing that I discovered about her when we first met each other is that we have in common something that's not that usual. We both grew up in Washington, D.C., both with families that had nothing to do with politics, and shared a contempt for the city that we feel we have realized in this project.
Yeah, to this day.
To this day, yes.
That's interesting. I did interviewed her one time, and she did it. She said she was in her jammies lounging in her bed in Brentwood, wherever it was. That's not good enough, probably. And did the interview that way, and it was hard to ask her any questions, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Raz, I don't have that problem with you, Frank. I don't know why.
Well, thanks. Well, she'll answer anything, and she's just whatever the opposite of a diva is. She is not a diva. She is smart and has no airs and game
amazing
for anything.
She's good. She's good. Now, Donald Trump, have you heard about him yet?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We've heard about him. Yeah, we heard about him a little bit on set. Yes.
One of the reasons I want to talk to you, because I always like talking to you, but one of the reasons is that you wrote a thing back in the New York Magazine in September, and the title of it was, it's kind of interesting, because you always think against the grain. I like that about you.
Thank you.
And Donald Trump is saving our democracy. Now, is it meant to be provocative, or actually do you believe that?
It was meant to be provocative. Actually, it was the cover line that I didn't write, but I'm willing to take it. It was meant to be ironic. My point, and I'm getting ready to return to the subject for New York. I'm starting to work on a piece today now that I'm back. But my point, which I still completely believe in, is that here's a guy who is a narcissistic, bigoted bully who has absolutely no credentials or anything else or temperament, as everyone says, for being president of the United States. But he is doing us one favor, which is he's exposed how corrupt and empty so much of the political apparatus of America is. And if one good thing comes out of this horror show that he's unleashed, it's that. He's shown that pundits are completely wrong. Everyone, when I wrote that piece back in the fall, people were, you know, had been predicting for weeks or months that he would implode. He never did. He's proven that pollsters are wrong. You know, the New York Times upshot column as recently as right before Super Tuesday was seeing a path to victory for Marco Rubio, supposedly based on data, whatever
That's
data
the
they were using. It's maybe what the Liberty Digest used when they predicted an Alf Landon victory in 1936.
Yeah.
He's proved that the Republican establishment is a paper tiger, if it even really exists, which is one thing I'm going to take up in my next piece. He's exposed Republican Party for its ideas of the past several decades, and particularly during the Obama era. His ideas are completely consistent with the party. It's just that he doesn't say them in code words or elegantly. Yeah. He just says them out loud.
They're consistent for erratic ideas.
Yes.
Frank, I'm a little disappointed. I thought you meant they actually was saving our democracy. I have really nothing to say to you because I thought that's such a
nothing's going to save our democracy.
Such a good counterintuitive way of looking at it, and I thought we could go with that. And yeah. I'm sorry to hear you feel this way about him.
Well, the one thing is, he is reminding us how democracy works, and in the end, the voters actually have the say. So this morning's New York Times front page story that the Republican rank and file is appalled by Mitt Romney, thinks his speech telling them to whom to vote for or not to vote for Trump, more accurately, was a joke, reminds us that actually voters do have a say, and it isn't controlled by the elites, and the results may be horrendous. I think he's likely to get the nomination, but it will force Americans to figure out whether they really maybe they do want to vote this November and not stay home because something really is at stake.
Yeah, do you think he's like closest to Juan Perón as a candidate, or where would you put him on that spectrum?
I don't know. He's more like a Vita, but.
But can he sing?
With a version of the same hair, perhaps.
Yes, and very. I think his hands are sweet. I honestly do. When he waves them with that little mouth thing, I'm somewhat attracted to the whole thing. I can only speak for myself.
Maybe we shouldn't go there.
No, we shouldn't. We definitely shouldn't go there. But do you think he actually is a political individual? Is he a political beast at all? Because it sounds like a lot of the stuff he's just trying to, you know, say something. And he's very good at saying something or anything. But
I think you're absolutely right about that. I don't think he is particularly political. And to the extent that I've followed him or even had encounters with him in New York over the years, he's not been a political guy at all. He's a salesman.
Just in terms of zoning or something like that, you can see that.
Yeah, he cares about his image. And his image, that's a form of, I guess, public relations politics. But you can tell that most of his opinions are the last thing he heard on Fox News or wherever he's listening to or someone told him at a party. He doesn't think anything through. I mean, we all know this. It doesn't make it, what he's saying really doesn't make any sense and isn't internally consistent. But that doesn't mean he can't run for president or theoretically at least be elected president.
Yeah. He strikes me as being like the father-in-law from hell.
Yeah, the father.
You know, you marry a Trump daughter, man.
Yeah, exactly.
The dinners are going to all end in brawls.
The crazy uncle, the Archie Bunker that you wish didn't turn up at Thanksgiving.
But do you get a sense of the man? I mean, is he like this in private as well?
My limited viewings is he's completely vain.
Okay, that's cool.
He's glib. He's a glad hander. He likes celebrity. He likes money. He likes opulence. He likes things. He likes the grandstand. I think what you see is what you get. One of my oldest friends in journalism is a guy who ultimately left journalism named Tony Schwartz, who used to be a reporter at the Times and actually wrote The Art of the Deal and has co-credit for it on the jacket. You know, as a young writer when he was leaving journalism, and this is like, you know, almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I talk to Tony all the time, and he says, this, what you see is it's no different from what he saw when he was writing, and he did write it. Trump didn't write it. He apparently read it after Tony wrote it. But when he was writing Art of the Deal, you know, Trump was like 38, and the same person then that he is now.
Yeah. Have you seen the Funny or Die Johnny Depp version?
Oh, wonderful!
The Art of the Deal. I recommend that to anyone. Once.
Yeah, that's just terrific. Yeah. But it's interesting, like the John Oliver piece, which you referenced in your monologue. I don't think these things, however brilliant, I don't think they have any effect whatsoever.
No, why would they?
Yeah, why would they? Yeah, it's not. And you know, it's hilarious to me to, you know, as a daily reader of the Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. Each day now, they have almost, they're in a race to how many editorials and op-eds they can run attacking Trump. In the case of the Post and the Times, it's from the left. In the case of the Journal, it's a conservative editorial page. They're all doing it. I don't know who it's for. They might as well just wrap fish with it right away.
Yeah. In many ways, you know, they always talk about Reagan, at least in the beginning, being a Teflon man. You know, everything just... nothing stuck. But you can't beat Trump because you can't, you know, first of all, you can't really parody a parody. So if you're going at him from, you know, trying to make things sound ridiculous that he's saying, it's already there. So it has no zero effect, really.
That's exactly right. And indeed, you know, when we're working on Veep, you know, our show, for those who haven't seen it, we never reference real life living politicians. We've never had a reference to
Joe Biden
or Obama or Bush or
Joe Biden was on, though. I saw Joe Biden was on.
No, not on our show. No, we did a little sketch with him for the White House Correspondents Dinner, but we never mention any real politician unless it's Nixon or earlier on the show.
Oh, it was Parks and Rec, sorry.
Parks and Rec, right. No other shows do that, but we never do it. But in any event, you know, we're watching. We would never have Trump, Representative Trump, or even a parody of him on the show. Sure. But we're looking. You know, we're sitting around making the show these recent weeks, and we think, would we even think of the plot twist of Selina Meyer, our president, Julia's character, getting into a spat with the Pope? It would be ridiculous.
People would be appalled.
People say, "Oh, that couldn't possibly happen." You really jumped the shark on your show if you'd have that idiotic a plot development. Yeah. So you can't compete with it.
Really, out pontificating the Pope and winning apparently because the Pope seemed to back down on that one.
Winning his favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Good. What can you do to him? He's Presbyterian anyway, right?
So exactly. He doesn't give a damn. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is the bluster thing. I mean, the candidate and the debates have been ridiculous, of course. This is the worst series. This is the worst political discussion since, you know, Burr and Hamilton. You know, that was bad.
Yeah, well, actually, if one sees the show Hamilton running in New York, that's even pulling out a gun and shooting at each other seems a step above the last Republican debate in terms of civility.
At least it was formatted. It was according to format.
Exactly.
But you know, he lowered the discussion he lowers the debate to the level that he's comfortable on, which is saying anything, just, you know, say something. And then you feel bad for, like, Cruz and Rubio and these guys who aren't used to doing that. And you end up with that most ridiculous of all debates, that last one, which is about body parts, among other things.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I don't feel so much sympathy for Cruz and Rubio because I feel they have their own. And Rubio's attempt to you know, dive down into the sewer was particularly embarrassing. But look at someone like John Kasich, who everyone refers to as the one adult on stage. First of all, the bar is now so low that if you just behave like an adult, that's supposed to mean you're a great statesman.
Yeah. Or look like one.
Like he looks like a 2-year-old. But he did. He actually didn't get into the muck. But I don't think it did him any good.
No matter. Nothing will.
Yeah.
So okay. So you can't really there's no discussion of issues. And when there are, you flip flop. What was the latest thing? Terror.
Yeah, he's changed. Yeah, he's a little bit flip-flopped on, I guess, a little bit on torture, a little bit also on immigration.
Yeah,
it really doesn't
matter.
But here's the thing. You have Romney attacking him for flip-flopping. Let's not forget that Romney essentially invented Obamacare in Massachusetts. So, you know, these people, there's no one in that party to take him out because they don't have, none of them have any real ethical or moral standing that I can see.
Yeah, and he would have gone down on his knees if Donald Trump had asked him to.
Yeah, exactly, and that's something we'd all like to see.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. What do you think about a running mate? Have we gotten to that point yet?
I guess the favorite on Twitter is Omarosa. you know, he'll... You know what? I was thinking this morning about it, actually. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, a Rubio or a Cruz did it. You know, after all this vitriol, obviously Chris Christie wants it, but I think he's the Scalia successor on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he stands behind Trump.
He stands behind
him. But you still see him because it's Chris Christie.
Yeah. but I imagine that he, you know, Trump is not an idiot. He sometimes... or often comes across that way.
When it's useful.
When it's useful, yeah. And people love it. And, you know, he says things like, I love the poorly educated, you know, who can make this stuff up.
But, and they love it.
And they love it.
Yeah.
But But he'll find somebody clever for vice president. He'll find someone that will and that might be politically useful to the extent that any vice presidential candidate really helps the ticket. I'm not convinced that's true.
Yeah, yeah. We should mention Hillary in passing, at least.
That party.
What have you thought of her campaign and her presentation and that yellow thing she was wearing in Milwaukee?
The yellow thing, fine. I find her a very uninspiring candidate, which is not to say I don't think she is far and away the person who should be president, or she's running against, particularly if she's running against Trump or any of these clowns. I wish she were a more spontaneous, less cautious, less squaring the middle and seemingly disingenuous politician than she is. We need, for those of us who do not want Trump to be president, we need her to be great, and she's not great. I think that the battle with Sanders, which I think is probably now coming to an end, I think that it's hard to see what's going to stop her now, at least technically an end, it will continue, he'll stay in the race for a while, has helped her a bit. I think it's made her sharper, it's made her turn attention to issues, particularly about inequality, she might not have looked at so carefully, but I do worry about it. I think people are right to worry that it's going to be a real race. It's not going to be a slam dunk victory for the Democrat over Trump, assuming he gets the nomination.
And don't you think that, you know, like the elephant in the room that no one is speaking about is, you know, Bill Clinton as First Lady?
Yeah. Well, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for him. For him is what I'm afraid of.
I really think, you know, the Republicans have tried scandal after scandal. Benghazi, I swear to God, I think the poorly educated, most of them don't, a lot of Americans don't even know where it is. That failed.
Yeah.
I think that unless it turns out that she was a mole for Al-Qaeda, I just don't see the email scandal being anything more than an embarrassment. And I actually think people really don't care that much anymore about Bill Clinton's sex life. That said, I'm worried about donors in the Clinton Foundation, the murkiness of that.
And Trump being one of them.
Trump being one of them. Here's a perfect example of why her campaign is not better as it was supposed to be than 8 years ago. It was the William Jefferson Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. Why, on the eve of running for president, would you allow it to be changed to the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation, so you as a presidential candidate are going to own anything bad that went down there? I just don't get it. I don't know what the thinking is of the Clinton campaign.
Yeah. Well, I would like to help her with a router, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things you wonder, you know. Okay. Router is an electronic device that is used in home networking. Oh, and John Oliver says that, and you're in stitches.
Yeah, exactly. He's good.
Well, I mean, at this point in history in this electoral process that we've just seen now, do you have any general feelings on the state of the American democracy?
Not too big a question, is it? I feel that Trump's saving it. No, I feel this has been an incredibly interesting period, the Obama period. We've discovered that our democracy is very flawed. We've discovered that race remains an often intractable issue in this country, whether it's manifested with police population relations and or in a political campaign like this. We have a major political party that is essentially an all-white party, and that was the case before Trump arrived on the scene, and it still is. So we've got a lot to deal with. On the other hand, there's some very positive things, including, in my view, I have many criticisms of the Obama presidency. I think it's been a pretty impressive show of governance, particularly given that he's facing a Congress that's so in an opposition so placably hostile to him.
Yeah, yeah. Franco, I thank you very much. I know you got things to do. Probably got a cast party going on.
No.
Is that over with?
I'm just going back to my writing work. But yeah. It's great talking to you as always. And congratulations on this wonderful run on the show. It's just fantastic.
Thank you very much. Frank Rich, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City. New season of Veep coming up. New season of Veep coming up. If you haven't gotten in on it, you might want to binge it before you get to the new one. She's great. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is fantastic. Such a funny show. And it's written largely by a British guy, you know, who really gets us. Sometimes it's better to be on the outside looking in, I think, and the inside looking in, because that's what is there to see if you do that, just your belly button. So.
That's interesting. They never reference any, you know, current politicians.
That's all you got out of that?
No.
That was rather a long interview, and that's all you got out of it?
No, not at all.
Any of them.
That's interesting. Well, I'm not going to comment on the wider themes there.
No, it made a real difference on Parks and Rec, as I recall, because she was a big Joe Biden fan.
Yeah. There. He shows up everywhere, though. Academy Awards, you know.
He does.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. Jeff, how are you?
Good.
What did you get out of that interview? Anything? One? Just.
Oh, where to begin? How much time do we have?
Okay, don't bother. Where to begin? All right, this little number here, Johnny.
This is jazz musicians like to take
liberties.
Liberties.
Yes.
So we took liberties.
Yeah, liberties.
Just an incredible amount of liberties.
Librium too, I think.
Librium too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm distracted.
It's a side effect.
Yeah, you'll probably recognize this too, in other words.
Okay. Sounds good. Says it. Oh.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
That sign is amazing, isn't it? You should get one. I actually get one around home. When this show ends, if it does, I'm taking the sign home, and it's going over the mantle. But it's going to be working. It's not a souvenir, not like, you know, some guys break down their sets and it's a souvenir. It's like Seinfeld, you know. It's in a museum or somewhere. But this applause sign goes into my living room and it's working. And I have the switch. I'm sorry?
Bedroom. Put it in your bedroom.
Oh, yes. Why didn't I think of that? Have you thought of this sort of thing before, appliance-wise?
Yeah, if you don't use it, maybe I'll take it home.
Sir, are you with her?
Yeah, you know, I write all of her material for her.
Is this the first you've heard of this applause sign in the bedroom thing?
Oh, yeah, it's actually a new idea. I think I'm going to maybe market that idea.
Standing ovation time. Let's not go there. Okay, if you could live in another country, what country would it be? Well, I'd have to say the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. I doubt I ever will, though. You know, it's too much to hope. Let's see here. Canada would be pretty good, too. Laura Mail, Regional Director for the Better Business Bureau. How about that? Laura, how's business? Is it better? Is this better? Better? Better and better?
Better and better.
If it goes worse, will you change your name? Yeah.
The worst bureau.
Yeah. Bad business bureau or something. The better. Or lousy business. Business is lousy bureau.
No.
Yeah. What inspired you the most after doing this show for so many years? Nothing. You lose all, you know, after a while, there's nothing. No, I don't know exactly what you mean. Are you asking on behalf of the Bureau? Yeah, okay.
No, just yeah. You've done so much over so many years.
I know.
Is there one thing that has stuck out that has...
No. Nothing. She's saying, and I would go over there. It's a big walk. Should I come over? You want to talk?
Yeah, I say walk over.
Yeah, is this a longer question?
Yeah.
Okay. I do have to conserve energy because I like to keep my footprint as small as possible. Because, you know, there's a lot of breathing going on as I do this. Where are you, in this row or there? Okay. Well, then I'll go around here, and then you can just twist your neck in an uncomfortable position and talk to me. And so many people love to do that. How's business?
Business is good.
Yeah. Good business bureau. And if someone does bad business, do you throw them out of the bureau?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to say it, like a customer comes and complains about, you know, some business. You throw them out of the bureau?
Well, we do our research first, but yeah, if we prove it, then yeah, we'll toss them out. Yeah.
What was your question?
I
came over here for a reason, but I forgot what it was.
I kind of forgot too. No, you've done the show.
Is Ro all yours here?
Yeah.
Are you in Better Business Bureau too?
No, I'm a chef.
You're a chef.
Yeah.
Is his company is restaurant? What's your where do you chef?
The River Food Pantry.
River Food Pantry, is that Better Business approved?
It is.
Good. Okay. And are you also a business?
Well, I'm retired. I'm a registered nurse, retired, but I manage a food pantry downtown here at Bethel.
That's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're the one who asked me if I now that my job is tanking.
I'm taking volunteers. I'll...
My phone has been ringing off the hook, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, when they said, well, the show's going to end, my phone has been ringing off the hook, but it's been you the whole time.
Actually, I can use you after March 25th because I'm getting my second knee replaced, and so I need another a replacement. So
for your knee, I'm going to be your knee after that, or what?
No, you have to come in and manage.
We're open. My knees?
Yeah, we do a lot of running.
Might as well, I'm not going to be doing much with them.
And we have a lot of work that we do. We get deliveries from Second Harvest, about 2,500 pounds a week, and that all has to be unloaded and taken to the pantry and sorted.
I got the disc. You know, I would love to do that. Either that or Meals on Wheels. I've been getting a lot of offers.
I retired. I was going to sit home, watch TV, and eat bonbons and just relax. And I've been working as hard as I ever did.
Yeah, it's wonderful, Bethel.
Yeah, it's all volunteer, and we're all volunteer, and we're supported by all donated money. So there's no paid employees. But we all work hard.
And how can people reach you? And you have a website or something?
Oh, we're on we have a website. Sure, just go to Bethel Lutheran Church and look up the food pantry.
Oh, I thought it was Temple Bethel.
Oh, Bethel Lutheran Church.
I don't know if I can work for the Lutherans. I thought it was a Jewish organization.
We take anyone.
That's so kind of you.
I can work with anyone.
Oh, wow, wonderful. But you've never worked with me.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And your name is?
Ruth Birkin.
Ruth and...
Laura, but I've decided what inspires you.
Okay. And you're?
William Birkin. William, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Yes, go ahead.
Apparently, it's my mother.
Well, doesn't she inspire you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's wonderful, yes.
And this volunteer work is really great because I get my daughter working for me. My daughter helps me.
Yes. I'm sorry, I thought you were reaching for me, and you were actually trying to push your daughter down.
And my son ends up working out at the River Pantry many years. And Casey, my grandson.
Casey, he's doing it.
And I have a granddaughter that comes down there and works, so it's family.
Honestly, as soon as this disc leaks out entirely, then I'll be right down here. Thank you very much. Aren't they great? We got something. She deserves. They deserve. Let's give them something a little bit.
Sure. How about some wine?
What?
Wine for all of the volunteers at the food pantry.
That probably would not sit so well.
After all that hard work. Really?
Do you want?
Wine?
It's just good
to... She says yes.
Yes.
We'll work it out. We'll get you. Where's that wine from?
That wine is from Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, they're not going to be handing it out there because it's not necessarily...
No, that's for you to keep.
Appropriate. Yeah, that's for personal use or medicinal use only. Okay. How are we doing time-wise here?
You could talk to maybe one more person.
Well, thank you so much. You'd think we were married. She tells me who I can talk to, who I can't talk to. Inspired you the most. This here is Ruth's Karen. Here we go. I like to work at the Bethel Pantry. Okay.
Let's see. Oh, you know what, Michael?
What?
We have the four disclaimers, so
yeah,
might be a good time for that.
Now you're editing me. You know, I'm going through my cards here.
Sorry, I realized.
What?
I realized the time and the four disclaimers.
Well,
you know,
that's why I asked you before.
Yeah,
here.
I'm sorry.
All right, let's try the What Do You Know quiz and chance to win fabulous prizes. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. How are you?
I'm good, Michael.
Yeah.
Scott Wardell.
Scott, how are you?
I'm okay. Doing good.
You just said that. Okay. There you go. Four disclaimers.
All right, the four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, so if you're retiring, they're going to need somebody to do this, right? Number three. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Scott Wardell's What Do You Know, ladies and gentlemen. This is only the beginning. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. You can get your hands up at this time and indicate it. Haven't you had enough of, exposure here? with the applause sign in the bedroom, and you want more?
Sure, bring it on.
You're a glutton for exposure.
Yeah.
Counts for the applause sign. I get. Come on, you're standing up here a second. Let's find out more about you. Tell us more about you.
My name's April M. Williams. I'm from Algonquin. And
okay, what was the first name?
April.
April, okay, beautiful name. And you're from Algonquin.
Yep, down south of the border.
Yeah, we don't talk about it, but we know where it is.
I can't wait to see the rest of the shirt exposed.
Yes. It goes down to here. And then...
I got a sneak peek.
Yes. Pretty exciting, isn't it? Imagine how I feel each night, putting it on and off. Actually, I've never worn this in 20 years, and it smells terrible. So then I run the original T-shirts. April, one good reason you should play the quiz.
I've been a diehard fan for many years, and I'm so glad to be here.
To have you. Come on up here if you would. Watch your step on the steps. Because we're not insured. Have a seat here. So what are you doing these days, April, for vacation or vocation?
Vacation, vocation?
Yeah.
I have a marketing company.
And oh, you do? A marketing company.
Market. And for
what do you
fun,
market?
Businesses. Businesses help them get found online.
Wow.
And
I should
as,
talk to you.
Yeah, we could pump up your branding, and yeah. We also I'm a BP.
I need a brand. My brand is needs bumping up exactly.
Yeah, and
could you do that for me?
I could do that. I'd be happy to talk to you.
How do you pump up one's brand? And is there an applause sign involved?
It could be definitely could be. Yeah. You want an electronic version of that to follow you around?
Yeah, yeah.
Signboard maybe.
That's what people do now. See, and when I was coming up, we didn't brand ourselves. Accidentally, soldering iron kind of thing, but...
I think you definitely have a strong brand.
I don't know. Now that's what you would tell young people going into business and whatever business they're starting.
You want to differentiate yourself, stand out from the crowd, be known for something unique and different.
Yeah, okay. All right, I got to talk to you some more, but we'll do that.
We'll talk.
For kicks, what do you do for kicks, April?
For kicks... I have several different hobbies. I'm a beekeeper. My husband and I have bees.
You have bees.
So we...
Did you bring them with you?
We didn't. We left them at home. They're kind of wrapped up for winter.
Are they?
I'm an amateur radio operator.
No kidding.
And I do prairie restoration, so we do burning and
so
taking out
invasive
plants.
But don't you have
plants.
Any interests that you like to
yeah.
pursue?
Yeah. And I like to travel.
Okay.
That's all.
All right, that's really amazing. That's, and the bees and the travel and where'd you travel last?
I traveled to L.A. last week. My daughter moved out to L.A. and
she
I
did?
Got to go visit her. And,
L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, L.A.
Los Angeles.
Yes.
And in January I was in Mesa, and of course today I'm up in Madison.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
All the big cities.
That's cool. Have you helped your daughter with her brand?
I did. Yeah. I did help sort of help her with that. Yep.
Yeah. What brand is she now? Maybe I've seen her brand.
She's also in marketing, internet marketing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a gene for it, huh?
Yeah. She used to work at my old company and in the same department and everything. So it was kind of weird having my coworkers working with my daughter.
Yeah. My daughter. My daughter's here too, Ellie. Oh. Ellie, who's, I'm working for my daughter.
You're working for her?
Ellie is trying to brand me. She's working on my brand right now in China. Whatever that is. I don't know. I stay out of the below it or above it.
Well, we'll
all
talk.
Right. April, someone out there plays along with you. That's how the quiz works. And how does it all really work, Stephanie?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, what is the best time to get a Tinder hookup? We're talking about hour of day or night. So think about it. If you don't know what Tinder is, never mind. Especially if you're a parent. I just found out about myself, and I don't really want to think about it. However, that's the question, because we're trying to appeal more to younger people. Best time to get a Tinder hookup. We're looking for a time of day or night, as close as you can get to it. Let's go to La Crosse now, because Kathy's there. Hey, Kathy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
What you doing?
Oh, just hanging out. My cat just had kittens, so.
Oh, yeah? Just now or just recently?
Last night.
When? Last night?
2 days ago, my daughter says. Night
2 days
before.
Ago, yeah. How is she? Is she chasing them around? I had one cat who never had kittens before, and I had to explain to her how to do it. You know, you got to pick them up with your teeth and then bring them back. And she just, they're running all over, and she's freaking out. Is your cat doing all right?
Oh, my cat's doing fine. They're not really moving very much yet.
Yeah.
She hasn't figured out to bite them in the back of the neck, so she just bites them anywhere. And
oh, yeah.
Around, but.
Yeah. And then you got to kitten-proof the house. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Yeah,
she's got a lot to do. She's got a lot to do. Best time to get a Tinder hookup, Kathy. What have you found?
Oh, gee. You know, I just got an email for the first time in a cell phone, so I don't know. How about two in the morning?
Well, I think that's a select few, probably. That's you don't want to probably do that at 2 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, you've never done this before, you know, but you probably want a more reasonable hour.
How about 8 at night?
Did you say 9 at night?
Yeah.
Yes, 9 at night is right. That's a reasonable hour. That's the best time. And you get someone who's not just already incredibly drunk. Because you don't really need that. Not either. Kathy, what do you do? Are you out there in La Crosse?
Yeah, I'm a single parent and I homeschool.
Oh, you do? Really? What topic are we on currently?
We're doing a geography lesson on moving to Oregon right now.
Oh. Okay. I guess I missed that day. I don't remember anything about that. Kathy, this is April. April, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
I'm glad you got that question, not me.
Yeah. Okay. Tinder hookup. Tinder is the Night. It's my new album. I hope you enjoy it. The two of you work together. You collaborate on this quiz, and we have various categories, don't we, Stephanie Lee?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Kathy, why don't you start? What would you like?
Science.
Science it is. I got it right here. Tip of my fingers in my recipe box. Science. Chimp friendship. What is it based on? Is it based on trust, fear, or urogenital concerns? Like so many friendships.
Oh, that's a tough one, Kathy.
Are they boy chimps or girl chimps? Or?
That's a valid question. I don't know. Because I wrote the question, I don't remember even what I read when I saw this. Chimp friendship.
The third thing would work if it was all boy chimps, I think.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes. Or Republican candidates. So then, but if it's not, then it would be either trust or fear.
I think it's just regular trust. I think chimps are...
Trust?
Trust, is that
yes,
something?
Trust. Yes, all trust right. is very important to chimps. If you can't trust, you can't chimp. I always say, shouldn't be a chimp if you can't trust.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and odds and ends.
April?
Odds and ends, please.
Odds and ends. You don't have to say please with me. But thank you. It was very sweet. Dumbest dogs. You hear about all the smart ones. We were looking here at the dumbest dogs. That's a dog that obeys a command a quarter of the time, 25% of the time or less. God, I got a dumb dog, but he's very sweet. She's very sweet, actually. All right, dumbest dogs. Which of the following is the dumbest of the dumb? Is it the Chow Chow, the Shih Tzu?
Shih Tzu.
I was afraid of that, yeah. Or the Basset Hound. Dumbest dogs.
Basset Hounds are so cute. How could they be dumb?
I can't believe they're dumb. I can't believe it.
Chow Chow.
They look kind of, you know.
Sounds like something you'd be.
Unkempt sometimes, but they're nice. They're very nice.
Doesn't Chow Chow something you'd eat?
I think originally that probably was their purpose. I'm not sure.
What do you think, Kathy?
I really know the history of breeds.
I hate dogs. I don't know.
Or the
Shih Tzu.
Let's take the Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu is right, yes. Not just the name. They're dogs. Okay.
Two right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and school.
Kathy, back to you.
People.
People. All right, people. Here it is, people. Speaking of people, which of the following companies will allow traveling employees to ship their breast milk back home while they're traveling? That's a perk. I enjoy me. I can listen to me all day, and I will be soon. That's what I love about it. God, that was funny. Thanks. Nothing really. Okay. It allows a perk is it allows the traveling employees to ship their breast milk back home. Is it Epic, Zillow, or Google?
Let's see. Epic, Zillow, or Google? Google seems to be a pretty aggressive company in allowing a lot of perks.
You think in the breast milk category
but,
as well?
Yeah. They're more like food, free food and stuff.
Yeah.
Zillow. What do you think, Kathy? Zillow, or are you like Epic?
Zillow, you've got to travel a lot up here.
Yeah, Zillow sounds good to me.
Zillow?
Zillow is right. Congratulations.
Wow.
You have won the quiz.
April, you can wash away the winter blues with a bar of authentic and original What Do You Smell soap, combining the scents of sharp cheddar and a bucolic Wisconsin morning from the Screaming Porch Gift Company in Mississippi. And then listen to the CD that will be the soundtrack for many candidates before the end of the year, The Impossible Dream by the Senators, under the direction of Steve Morin. Kathy, you'll wake up to a brighter world with Steep & Brew Breakfast Blend Coffee and add bliss to your afternoons with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Kathy. Hang on and make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
April, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the branding. I'll bring the sign.
Join us here at Monona Terrace for our next live show on Saturday, March 19th. Michael's guest will be acclaimed author Bill Bryson. Ticket and more information is available at notmuch.com. Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Thank you.
Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
He's badging it.
That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we try not to bore ourselves with a place to be, plus a batch of thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose keys were in the door the whole time, Michael Feldman.
In the still of the night. Hi. Oh, you're still here. I don't know why I'm surprised. Nice to see you. Thanks for staying. And, you know, each week of this time, we get actual memos sent in by actual memo receivers. We get them and find them amusing or whatever, at least, or stupid, or both. Well, there's this one. Now, it's not really a memo. We'll start with that, so it's not officially a memo. Sent in from somewhere in Virginia. Just a new little article in the paper. Pork spill clogs major artery in Rockbridge County. Beautiful headline, isn't it? Pork spill clogs major artery. The story's not so good, but I just love the headline. Some of those headlines are great. Headline writers, that's the job for me next. Because everyone thinks they can write headlines that are good like that, but you know it's hard to do. It's like doing those captions in New Yorker cartoons. You know, I've sent in maybe 1,000 of them over the years. Some dynamite ones. Here's another. This is an actual memo here. It's from somewhere in Nebraska, apparently this is a local theater staff received a memo along with your schedule, and it reads as follows: Hi friends, schedule attached. Our larges are the same-day refill only. This means if a guest brings back a plastic cup or metallic tub, or yes, even a used paper large tub from a previous day, they do not get a free refill. I shouldn't have to say this. No, it's not in there. It should be in there. Box office and ticket takers, we need you to keep an eye out for those sneaky folks bringing in old cups and tubs. Even if they're married to them, what the heck? Vendors, be cautious. If the guest has a Kung Fu Panda tub and we aren't currently selling those, kindly tell them it is same day refill only. Thank you for that memo. It's a beauty. And let it be a warning. Let it be a warning. Where can I send their memos and anything they want to send me?
Well, they can send those memos.
Condolences would be nice.
Oh. Thank you cards.
Thank you cards. That's what I meant to say. I don't know why I came out condolences.
They can send those memos or whatever they would like to send you, Michael, to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post them there.
Cool. And then, you know, usually at this time we have all the news that is actual news, usually from around here in Wisconsin. But the only news I could find actually was the mailbox guy with the bat, you know, in his friend's rusted Corolla, riding with a baseball bat out the window, struck again, and a huge number of mailboxes are down in Eau Claire and surrounding environments. It's not a real grabber of a story, but I thought, so that's why I'll tell you this. So all the news that is that Hobart, Wisconsin, was named Wisconsin's most boring place. So that's news. Most boring place in Wisconsin, Hobart. And I don't know who decided that. Hobart is up near Green Bay. It's in Brown County. It's a village of 7,861, the most boring place in Wisconsin, according to Road Snacks. So who cares what Road Snacks thinks? Roadsnacks.net. Road Snacks. Well, now I see this. This is ridiculous. This doesn't mean a thing. And they, it says, you know the places, the ones where everyone has an AARP card. Insulting. It's insulting. It's an honor to have one of those. That you've lived long enough to acquire an AARP. And the most exciting thing they do it all day is post a picture of the grandchild on Facebook. They're criticizing Wisconsin life here. I can't stand it. The site reports Lake Hobart, for instance, in our latest analysis, we found that this city, Lake Hobart, was the most boring city in all of Wisconsin, but there are plenty other boring, lackluster places in Wisconsin. Thank you so much. The claim drew a reaction from Hobart residents, some of them agreeing, some of them laughing, some of them showing disbelief. We thought we would call out to Hobart. Have we been to Hobart? Do you remember ever seeing a sign that said Hobart?
No, it was Hobart, Indiana, but I didn't know there. I'm not sure if I'm familiar with Hobart, Wisconsin.
It must be a little off the road there in Green Bay. Lynn, you know where it is, Hobart?
Not exactly.
Not exactly?
Oh, Lynn doesn't know.
Is there a fishing hole? You know, sir?
Yeah, it's up by Green Bay. My sister lives there.
It's up by Green Bay. Your sister lives there. Is your sister boring by any chance? She is? Yeah. There's a very boring sister who lives in Hobart. That's just one example. What? Yes? So not surrounded by the Oneida Reservation. Okay. So it's a little like the donut hole of boredom in the middle of the Oneida. Okay. Well, we've been calling out randomly now, or whatever Lyle is actually doing in that booth. I have no idea. Melissa is in Hobart, Wisconsin. Melissa, are you? How do you feel? Are you offended? Melissa, how do you feel?
Hey, everyone from Hobart.
Hey, how's it going there, Melissa?
It's great.
Is it a laugh a minute, actually, in Hobart?
Yeah, sure. It's not as boring as they're intended. We're more of a faith and family type community.
It's a safe community. The kids have a lot of places they can play. You don't have to worry about them, right?
That's correct.
But more than that, there's a lot of entertaining things you can do. Family things and other things, right, Melissa?
Yes, that's correct. We don't have any retail in Hobart. However, we're more community parks and more family-based.
Oh. No resale or retail, did you say?
That's correct. No retail.
Oh, okay. I thought you said resale for a minute, and I thought, God, you should really get a Salvation Army at least in there. So a lot of parks, lots of things to do in the parks.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Soccer, we have fantastic bike and walking trails around the city center.
And what draws the tourists to Hobart, Melissa? Is there an event? Is there Hobart Days? Hobart Days?
No, we don't have any Hobart Days. We have two large golf courses. One is home to the Green Bay Packers.
Fantastic.
And then we have another community golf course as well. Next year we'll be hosting the LPGA.
How about that? That's
amazing. Yeah, so how boring is that?
That is not boring. That is close to being exciting.
But close, yes.
Can you go out there and
don't want to overdo it.
Yeah, can you go out there and see actual Green Bay Packers hitting a ball?
Yes, you can. Many of the Green Bay Packers actually reside in Hobart.
Oh, they do.
We are actually Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. See, this is better and better. This is what you got.
It does. Yeah. We have Hollywood fame when he's in town.
The Hollywood press is there?
The Hollywood fame.
You mean his girlfriend?
Absolutely.
She's very good. I saw her on the Oscars. I never actually seen her before. Seems like a very nice person. All right, so you're out there and you got the golf courses, so that draws a lot of tourists. Do you play golf yourself?
I do not.
Yeah.
I wish I knew, but not yet.
The historical sites in Hobart are something that everyone could be talking about. I haven't heard them do so. It's famous things that happen in or near Hobart.
Well, that's really where we become boring.
Oh. You mean like nothing has ever happened of historical importance in or near Hobart? There must be something.
Well, we do have the Oneida Reservation, as someone had said in the audience.
Okay.
Otherwise, Historical sites. There really isn't many.
Yeah. Is there a casino nearby, perhaps?
We have several casinos nearby.
Okay. See, now this is what we got to be talking about.
Casinos, gambling, yes.
Yes. See, that's a major attraction. And you'll get a lot of, I suppose they have parking and all that and hotels there. But a lot of the overflow would go to Hobart.
Yes, yes. Currently at the time, we don't have a hotel.
No.
No.
Yeah. No Hobart Inn or Hobart Valley Inn or Red Hobart Roof Inn.
Yeah. That would be maybe your neighbor's house. I'm not sure.
Okay. And then if people are relocating, a lot of people now are tired of the perfect weather in the South because it's not perfect anymore, thanks to global warming, and are thinking about coming back up north. And would you suggest Hobart as a destination if you want to relocate from paradise?
Absolutely. We are actually one of the fastest growing cities in Wisconsin. We have over a 25% increase in population. I'm also a real estate agent, so absolutely, come to Hobart.
Yeah, come to Hobart. Is that what we're talking about now? Is that the theme up there? Come to Hobart.
Well, actually, the theme is the greatness is growing.
That's a longer theme.
Yeah, the greatness is growing.
You know, I'm not too happy with that theme.
Oh.
I like come to Hobart because it's straight, it's direct. Come here, we got, the greatness is growing. It makes me think of all sorts of incompatible things.
That's not good.
No, because if it's greatness, then it would already be pretty grown.
Right.
But if it's growing, you're afraid it will burst at some point, a burst of greatness. But I get the point. And Hobart, the place to come to, and you love it, and your kids love it. And are you native?
No, I am not.
No. Where are you from originally?
Northwestern Wisconsin.
Northwestern Wisconsin. That would be what?
Yeah. Rice Lake.
Rice Lake. Okay, that's nice, too. And it offers a lot of things that probably you couldn't get in Rice Lake, in a nice, safe, warm, endearing urban environment.
That's correct. If you want to come and...
Great schools. And great schools.
It is. It is. Great community school district. We just sure have that.
Yeah. And is there a high school in Hobart?
No, actually, we only have one elementary school in Hobart.
Yeah.
And then the rest is in Pulaski.
Okay. Pulaski is a great place, too.
It is. At least in Hobart.
Yeah.
At least in Hobart, we can smell the cow odor versus, city... city bus exhaust or anything like that.
I love a good cow odor.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And that could be a motto, right next to Pulaski, I think. Hobart.
Okay. Well, and then we're just, the city next to West Green Bay. So.
Yeah, there you go. All kinds of possibles. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
All right, thank you guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. There's the truth about Hobart, ladies and gentlemen. So don't believe what you hear from some snack company. All right, this thing is out. There's no screen here, so I'm just going to unbutton my shirt one more then, just to cover up for my lack of ease here. Okay, I go one more button, and
careful,
I
but don't.
Got to tie it off at the bottom.
Get the shirt mixed up with the pants there, mister.
Yeah, oh, sorry. It's a fine line. Not so fine a line, actually. And okay. Now, generally, at this time, what do we like to do? Another band number, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Brad. I've never seen you get out of your booth before during a show.
It's a very rare occasion.
Yeah,
Brad
how does it feel? Pretty good?
Oh, can we hear it for Brad Kohlberg?
How did you know how to do it? He tapped his head and he left. Brad Kohlberg. Thank you very much. Now, this song, you didn't tell us much about the last one, Midnight in Moscow.
No, because those were the days.
You know, I could run those songs simultaneously, and you would see what I mean.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. This one's an older one, even older. This is called Long Ago and Far Away.
Long Ago and Far Away. John Dooley, Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Thank you.
once again, Michael Feldman.
If they ever remake The Jazz Singer, I'm all over it.
Yeah, no. You're casting that already,
yeah.
I think.
I got the voice.
We'll talk to Frank about that. He's probably got connections.
Cool. Oh, Scott Wardell. We already had him. But thank you, Scott, for this here. You say the Madison Police Department, they're looking for school crossing guards. Another job tip. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Do I have to supply my own uniform for that, Scott?
No, actually, the city will provide you with a uniform and equipment needed to safely cross kids.
Yeah, and they'll give me the cones and everything.
Yeah, some of the corners have cones, and then you actually get paid a cone allowance to take those cones out into the road.
Yeah. And if a guy hits me while I'm getting my cones back or laying them out, then who's liable for that?
Boy, that's a tough one. you would probably
ask, you know, it's a whole new adventure for me, so.
All I can say is survivors would probably get some kind of workers' compensation.
We got to have real cojones.
That's good. Let's hope there are some survivors then of that incident. All right, let's just put that card there. What is the best question you've been asked? Actually, this one. Surprisingly, you wouldn't think so, but it opens you up to any possibility. Okay. Lisa is a Lutheran pastor from Green Bay. Your favorite Jew food? Oh, wait, I said Jewish. My thumb was there. Not so bad. Okay, it's okay. Where is Lisa, who's a... you want to know more about the Jewish people? Do you know any Jewish people? Okay, well, that's you got to meet me then. I'm not saying I'm typical. I'm not saying I'm the best example, but I am. Excuse me. Pardon me. Are you here because you want to be?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
You weren't drugged.
No.
You were drugged and drugged here.
I'm on drugs, but I wasn't drugged.
I won't ask your name. Because you're supposed to be at work anyhow. That's a thing. How are you doing? Pretty good then. Okay. How are you? Good. How are you? You wear this hat all the time?
Only, yes, I do, actually. Thank you.
Canada. It's just Canada.
Hedging my bets for the fall.
Yeah. You thinking of moving up there?
You know, I'd visit there, but I just heard earlier you were thinking about it, too. So let's... Hook up.
My dad grew up in Vancouver, so I think I might have a green light. Might be green lighted by the Canadians.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Betcha.
Okay. Are you?
Better than I deserve.
Well, what do you deserve to be? Miserable?
No. And if I'm going to move, I'm probably going to go to Australia.
Yeah.
Rather than Canada.
Okay. Your reasons being?
I like Australia.
That's an odd reason for doing anything. Have you been to Australia?
A couple of times.
Okay.
Right.
And you thought about staying last time, defecting?
Well, no. There was a different political situation in this country then.
Yeah.
Okay. But now, I don't know, Trump versus Clinton, I don't know.
Australia! Throw something on the Barbie.
There you go. Yeah. Right.
You got to learn to talk like that.
Yeah, of course.
That's good. You got a head start. Okay. I might see you down there. I don't know. I hadn't thought about Australia, but I might go to the UP. Oh, wait, they're part of the country. I keep forgetting it. I always thought they were an independent state. Who am I looking for here? Oh, I'm in the wrong row entirely.
Why didn't someone tell me that? I was going to tell you, Michael.
Stand up and tell me their hopes, dreams, and aspirations. Can I get you to stand up and I'll lean over? You don't mind if I lean over you? Can I just... Just kidding. And you are?
Lisa Ubaldi.
Oh, yes. And your reverence, I should call you?
Pastor.
What is it?
Lisa. It's fine.
Well, Pastor, can you say Pastor Lisa? Because I want to be perfect in this. As the first Jew you've ever met, I don't want to make any faux pas, as we say in Yiddish.
You can just call me Lisa.
Okay. And so you're working tomorrow?
Actually, yes, I'm preaching tomorrow.
Yeah, have you got it all figured out?
Oh, yeah. Yep, it's all under control.
Which way are we going to go this Sunday?
The prodigal son.
Whoa, story. You want me for come for that? I'm very close to being him. I know that, and I get the whole Jewish thing and all that.
Right, he was Jewish.
Lots of people were. You know, it's pretty famous religious figures. Famous religious figures were Jewish. Not Martin Luther so much. Was he Lutheran, though? But before, I don't know, was Martin Luther? All right, Jesus was Jewish. Let's face it. But was Martin Luther Lutheran? He couldn't have been because there wasn't anything such thing, right? So what was he? Was
Catholic.
He was Catholic, yes. Okay, fine, thanks. Thank you very much. See, we had a really nice theological discussion.
Right. He didn't want to be called Lutheran, or us followers to call ourselves Lutherans. But
you know, Jesus felt the same way. I don't really want to break this to you right now. But Christianity was not, you know, it wasn't then. It wasn't his thing.
Yes, you're right.
Jewish. He was Reform. I'm not saying he wasn't Reform. Jewish food?
Right. I was wondering what your favorite one is. I worked for a summer in a resort in Elkhart Lake. It was called the Schwartz Hotel. And we had a lot of customers come up from Chicago and basically served mostly Jewish foods.
What did they ask for the most?
Kugel.
Kugel is the first thing that comes to my mind. But, you know, it's hard to find a good Kugel. How many of you have found a good Kugel? Applaud if you found a good Kugel. Yes, if you find a good Kugel, you got to marry it. That's how hard it is to find it.
Right.
It's a noodle casserole, and you put raisins in it or not. Is it sweet? Do you make it in as a dessert? Right?
Well, that's
right?
Not...
Do you like the sweet and the dessert? Right? There are some Jewish people here. One of them is my daughter. And Ari, do you make a Kugel in your household? What's brisket got to do with Kugel? We're talking Kugel here, Ari. Brisket is another. Brisket, good one.
That sounds really good, too. Yeah.
It's really, you know, the Irish think it's corned beef, but it's brisket.
Matzo ball soup.
It doesn't sound like that, but it is very good. You have to get a nice, fresh matzo. You know, and then you got to dress it out. And then you pull the meat on it.
You're pulling our leg on that.
Oh, no. It's not a leg. It's more of a brisket, actually. It's in here. The matzah. No, a matzah meal is one of the penalties we had to go through in the desert. It was eat matzah things. Matzah ball soup is the only good thing ever made from matzah.
Well, matzah crackers are good. Or bread.
Terrible. Like eating cardboard. It's like you take shirt out, you take a shirt, pull the cardboard out, and say, oh, this is delicious. Because we had to go out of Egypt during this time, and
well, I buy the onion flavored.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's good. Well, I hope I cleared things up for you.
Oh, I hope. But what is your favorite Kugel?
It's a nice the right Kugel. I like very much. I like brisket. I like it all. Matzo ball soup. Liver, not so much. Chopped liver, yes. A nice chopped liver. Do you like chopped liver?
No.
Chopped liver?
No, thank you.
No.
What? I love it.
Here, chop, and you're not even Jewish, right?
Exactly. It's the best thing I ever eat. Yeah.
Did you ever chop your own liver, though?
Yes. I've chopped my own liver.
How do you chop your own liver? It's in a delicatessen. Someone has chopped this liver. How do you actually chop a liver?
Just with a knife. Just chop, chop.
Chopping a liver? With a knife? Isn't it blood flying? And there's
already cooked.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
You wouldn't chop it first and then. how do you put onion in there?
Onions are really good, yeah.
What ethnic are you?
Lutheran.
Is that really an ethnic?
Like Irish Lutheran.
Because you could be German Lutheran.
I could be.
But you're not.
My big day's coming up.
Yeah. St. Patty's Day, right after my birthday. Well, we're gonna thank you for the chopped liver thing. Anything you want to add to that?
No.
Do you like any organ meats?
No. Organ meat is not very good.
You're offending a lot of people around the world.
That's okay. I give away all that stuff.
Are you like your hunter? Deer hunter?
Yeah. Yes.
And what do you do? Is there someone who wants the organ meat?
At first hand gets it.
You put it in the sausage, don't you?
No. I just grind up the rest of the red meat.
Who cares what's in a sausage? Who knows what's in a sauce?
I do, and I can't eat it.
Okay, well, thank you all, and I'm sorry for invading your row. But it's very nice to meet you just the same. And Mr. Australia is here, and going back this way, Mr. Canada is here. Any country you're going to flee to?
Yeah, with them.
You're going to either Canada or Australia?
Yeah, whichever one gets the bigger house.
Australia, nice. What's the cost of living there? Have you checked it out yet? Not recently. Not recently? Okay. Anything else? Anything you want to add?
Nothing here.
Why are you clutching your purse? And I hit you with the microphone, but that's only because you looted. Well, you know, it's a little upsetting. People clutch their purses when I come by. Look at this. Here's another clutch. It's a clutch bag, right? That's why.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you have to clutch it. Okay, so that was interesting. And that's life as we know it. Do we have time yet? We do. Pastor, will this be the Cubs' big year? Yes, no, maybe. Probably not. Four answers. What? Are you Cubs fans? Are you Cubs fans here?
Yes. Oh,
yeah. I'm a Cubs fan from way back. Not from way back, but from some way back.
What changed you?
Reality changed me. I have enough disappointments in my own personal life. You know, I really don't need a massive, impenetrable disappointment, immovable, so large, like the Chicago Cubs.
Do you need these?
Beer nuts. I always need beer nuts. Thank you so much. Did you bring them for me? Or did you?
I did bring them for you.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Aw.
Beer nuts for everybody. Who's going to offer beer nuts to their audience if I stop doing this show? That's what I worry about the most. This could not happen on any other show.
No. The other ones are just under.
What?
The other ones are just under a buck.
The other ones are under a buck? Oh. Well, the koozie lady is here from Iowa. Where is she hiding herself? Koozie lady. Koozie lady. But is it broken? She was on the show 2 years ago, and we're still talking about her. We're still saying, what koozie lady? And what's a koozie? And we know what a lady is, sort of, when we see one. Thank you. Sorry, I can't move. How you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah. That's good. You always great? I mean,
pretty much.
Are you great even when you're not great?
Yeah. In my own mind. In
my
own
mind. My wife doesn't really care. You know, it's just, how was it? Or how are you? Okay. That's not good enough. No, I get a grilling. There's 16 questions after that. What do you mean by okay?
What do you mean? Yeah.
So when you say great to people, does your wife or someone close to you say, what do you mean by great?
Well, they just say wonderful.
Did you go to wonderful?
Wonderful, wonderful.
What do you mean by wonderful? You don't get a grilling like that.
No. Mm-mm.
So you're not married to a Jewish woman?
No.
Your name is?
Dale.
All right, Dale. Thank you. Thank you very much. Going down, anything you want to add to this here about greetings or how are you? Or?
I always say I'm Dantastic.
Because you're Dan?
Yes.
It is.
It's my catchphrase.
Has it served you well?
Yes, it has.
I met a guy once who always says, I'm sure he's still saying it somewhere, I never had a bad day. How are you? Never had a bad day. And he's lying through his, I mean, who hasn't had a bad day? You know. So I try it once in a while, and I can't sell it.
Well, I think you could.
Yeah, but I'm Dan-tastic.
Dan-tastic.
Yeah, I'm going to use that, even though I'm not Dan. Is that, I'm damn-tastic, as I always say. What do you think about that?
I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
I noticed you're armed with a camera there and some other equipment. What are you doing?
Waiting for the opportune moment.
Is there a grassy knoll involved? Or kind of scared me. Your voice scared me more than your equipment. You've heard that one before, I'm sure.
Yes. No, but a button might be involved.
He's a very scary man. You know what I mean? I think. Is he with you? Does he ever scare you?
Yes, all the time. Yeah, he's.
In the morning, your glasses are off, and you hear that.
I think I scare him.
A button is involved.
Yeah, he's pretty frightening.
Are you aware of the effect you have on people?
Mostly.
Okay, I'm all right. The koozie lady, however, is here. Hi, how are you? I didn't recognize you. It's been a while. Stand up. Koozie lady, a gentleman from Iowa. Fairfield, Iowa.
Fairfield, Iowa, right.
Explain to everyone the whole koozie thing.
Well, we were here a couple years ago, and my question was, how come you don't sell, what do you know, koozies? And I don't think you knew what a koozie was.
No, and I've forgotten, because you told me, and they are, of course, those things that you put beer in or something.
Beer, yeah, yeah.
We call them something else, don't we? What do we call them? Koozies. Yeah, we call them koozies here.
Yeah, that's what we call them, too. Yeah.
Oh, you do, really? Even in Iowa?
In Iowa, yeah. Southeast Iowa.
But you have a huge collection of them, is that?
I have quite a few, yeah.
Have you counted them recently?
Probably have maybe 50.
And is there a beer behind every koozie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've earned your koozie.
Oh, yeah.
Did you meet over a koozie? Or?
Sort of, yeah. We really did, yeah.
Stances there.
Might have been a football game involved.
Yeah, Iowa?
That's right. Our beloved Hawkeyes, yes.
Yeah, that got a big response. Dearly beloved Hawkeyes, I'm afraid to lay them to rest. What was the situation?
Friends from way back, seeing each other. Correct.
Yeah. Tailgating, maybe?
Tailgating, perhaps, yes. That's
speak?
More accurate, yes, okay. Tailgating.
Okay. Just the first time something struck, you can sit down. I'm talking to him now. It's going to take a while here. You have to draw him out. He's not like you.
That's right, he's not.
Difference, c'est la différence, as we say in English. And so you're... Let's go back to the original one. It first occurred to you?
Well, about the koozies or about her? old acquaintance, always good to see, you know, yeah. And our paths crossed. Yeah. And it was nice to see her. And, yeah, football game. This is
who were they playing, or don't you remember?
Playing Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah. Okay. They won. It was a great evening, yes.
Penn State?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Probably tailgated after the game as well.
Didn't see her again.
Tailgated with her again?
For several years, yes, until we had each gone through situations in our previous marriages.
And work out a few things.
Crossed again. Yeah, and then one thing led to another.
Wow.
And then shortly after being...
What does that mean, by the way? I hear people saying it, but I never have had one thing lead to another, I don't think.
2 years ago, when she was on your show, it opened the doors, and we were engaged shortly thereafter.
Well, that was just 2 years ago.
Aww.
Oh, so that's what one thing led to another. I mean,
here we got married.
Wow. I brought you together.
He proposed to me on the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
What a guy.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. He does all these good things.
All right, so once again, we got your name is?
Mary Loudon.
Mary and
Tom.
What do we got for them? Our koozie couple.
Yep, so those special moments celebrating their two-year anniversary can be enhanced with Domaine Dussac and Prairie Fumé wines from the Wollersheim Winery. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Oh. She's taking apart. Hi, dear. How are you? Say hello. You don't have to say a thing. You're so darling. Okay, she's going. Do you know this child is going through your bag here, by the way?
No.
That's okay. That's all. It's all her stuff, anyhow.
Yep.
Pretty much. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. What's your name?
Her name's Scout.
Is what?
Scout.
Scout?
Yeah.
Hey, Scout. Nice to meet you. Sorry to bother you. Okay. She's busy. She's going through some stuff there. Okay, we have time, I think, to play the quiz right now. So you didn't have a chance last time. Maybe you'll have a chance this time because there's always another chance. And then you just got to be willing. You got to be... All right, my man. My man here. And the classic Packer look. Come on, just step over here if you would, my man. And what'd you call this? I saw you in the donut room earlier. What's this look?
This is the Mike McCarthy look.
Mike McCarthy look, ladies and gentlemen. Show them. Be proud. Mike McCarthy, a hero of yours?
He's a great football coach, allegedly, but Allegedly.
Yeah, okay. And are you from Green Bay? Or?
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I live right here in downtown Madison.
Downtown Madison, and your name is?
Al.
Al? I'm going to call you Al.
Great to meet you.
Easy to remember, and nice to meet you as well. And Al, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
My grandma makes a mean noodle kugel.
It all comes around. Come on here. Come on up, Al. Got some beer nuts here, too. I should open these. Yeah. Pass the beer nuts around because, you know, otherwise people will be diving for them. Okay. Let's just, we'll pass the beer nuts around.
If you're allergic,
okay, warning. If you're allergic, don't take the beer nuts. That protects us from legal liability.
But I have a question. So, but Leinen Kugel, that's a different thing, right?
Leinen Kugel is,
Leinen Kugel.
Well, what does Leinen mean? You people are not helpful at all, word origins. Don't we have someone here who's a linguist? Okay.
Never mind.
I don't want to start Googling during my own show. Al.
Hey, Michael.
How's it going? What are you up to these days?
Oh, staying busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Well, I work in the legislature, so we just wrapped up a little bit our session.
Our legislature or theirs? Ours?
Theirs.
Okay. And what do you do in the legislature there?
I am a chief of staff for a state representative.
Oh, yeah. Can we name that, or is it?
I don't think it's a secret. A gentleman named Corey Mason.
Corey Mason. Okay. Yeah. Good man, Corey Mason, right?
Good man.
Representing what district is that, then?
The wonderful city of Racine.
City of Racine. All right. And how did you, have you always been a political type? How did you get into this racket?
I've always been one of those political types, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even back in Cleveland?
Even back in Cleveland, growing up, yeah.
And where would you like this to lead to? Your own seat in some legislature somewhere?
I like to be the man behind the man, Michael.
That way when he gets indicted, you got nothing to do with it.
Let's hope not.
Well, Cleveland's an interesting political town. I mean, that's...
It is.
Highly political.
Absolutely.
Yes, in varying degrees of legality.
Right.
That's nice. And the Green Bay Packer thing, now when did that happen for you?
Well, you know, they're a much better team, Michael, than the one I grew up rooting for, the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns,
so
yeah.
I made a pragmatic sports decision just like you did with the Cubs.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it funny how the new Browns are no better than the old Browns?
No.
There's something about the name, maybe.
They should change it. Go with another color, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't know. The dog pound is kind of cool. I like that.
It is.
That's about the best thing there, though.
Yeah.
The team, not so much. And, okay, and what do you do for kicks, Al, when you're not doing legislative things? Passion for anything?
I don't keep bees.
No.
That's
hard to live up to, all the things that April does.
Not a hobby of mine, but I do watch my Browns frequently. I'm a long-suffering fan.
Still are, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe this year.
Wait until next year. That's what
we like
Johnny to say.
What about Johnny
Football, huh? He's a troubled young man, Michael.
Yeah, someday he'll be a troubled old man. Right. So if he hangs in long enough. Okay, Al, so you know how this quiz works? Are you a trivia guy, too?
I'm a trivia guy, sure.
Yeah, do those trivia things in taverns?
Yep, go to the bar to do that every once in a while.
Yeah. And what do you win, a side of beef or something? How does that work?
Usually they give you the opportunity to purchase more beer.
What a wonderful certificate. If you win?
Yeah. If you win, yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's worth doing. Doesn't it affect your trivia knowledge, though, if they're drinking in the bar while you're trying to remember? Because I can't remember names when I'm sober.
Right. Well, sometimes it helps.
Let alone the Battle of Hastings. Okay. The Battle of Hasty Pudding, I understand that. Okay, Al, someone out there plays along with you, and it's a cooperative kind of venture. Mm-hmm. And do they call you Steph? Because I got a card from someone. Isn't Steph fantastic? And I was trying to think, who do I know is Steph? Because I've been going out of my way to call you Stephanie, even though it's three...
You actually go out of your way to call me Stephanie Lee most definitely.
Yes, I do.
Which I very much appreciate. You're the only person that ever calls me that.
Well, it's kind of a long thing to call anybody.
Yeah.
But you don't mind being called Steph?
No, my family and friends are usually the only people that call me Steph.
Yeah.
Usually I go by Stephanie, but, you know.
Okay, cool. So what was I saying? There's some quiz element
here.
That's right,
the quiz. Yeah, so if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NOW.
WA-NOW.
Or 1-800-WHACK. Now.
Mark, now. We should get you to say these words. The gentleman was scary.
Oh, yes. I saw him videotaping you earlier.
Now. Whoa.
So that's the number to dial, and they're going to answer this qualifying question.
Thank you so much for reminding me. I never get the hang of this after all these years.
After all these
years. Percentage of millennials. Once again, we're trying to reach out to you young people. The last possible second here. Percentage of millennials who say they would date a mixologist. This is from the Southern Comfort people. I got to stop reading these stupid things here. A mixologist is someone who mixes
drinks.
Ologies, right? Drink.
Yeah.
A bartender, basically. But now it's a mixologist because, we're millennials. Okay. Well, that just lost the millennial market. Unbelievable. Ouch. God, that actually hurt. Percentage of millennials who say they would date a mixologist. As close as you can get to it, and then we'll take it from there. Tom's in Flatwoods, Kentucky. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. How's yourself?
So far, so good.
Yeah? What do you got ahead of you? Something you got to deal with?
We're going to paint the house today.
Oh, the whole house in one day?
Well, we're thinking about painting the house in one day.
Yeah. Is it one of them little houses, Tom?
Yeah, it's a little house on the prairie.
A little house? Is it on a little prairie?
Little prairie.
Yeah, it's just a small prairie, but okay, and there's a little house on it. So
I'm dying here. I'm trying to be funny. I'm sorry.
No, you know, we're both dying here, Tom.
At least we're together.
We're doing good. So Flatwoods, is that near? Where are you from? What's your hometown? Lexington, right?
Flatwoods, Kentucky. It's on the border of West Virginia and Ohio.
Okay. And what do you do out there, Tom, when you're not painting your house?
I'm listening to What Do You Know with Michael Stone.
Okay, that's it. The only two things you do ever, huh?
I'll keep myself.
Okay. Tom, let me ask you this. Percentage of millennials who say they would date a mixologist?
I want to guess between 0 and 100.
You are from Kentucky, right? That's the way they talk out there. You can't nail them down on anything. I want to
say 60%.
Okay. 70% is right, Tom. Congratulations. So put down that brush. You can do the house tomorrow or later today or something. Get a start on it. Are you going to scrape it first, Tom?
It's already been scraped. The paint's been chipping.
You just let the paint chipping scrape the house itself? I mean, it's self-scraping your house?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Tom,
let me say this, too. Yeah. I grew up in Cleveland, so I'm I'm a diehard Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah. Al, you want to relate to him, will you please? He's trying to relate to
you.
Yeah,
that's
enough to tell you this.
It's a sad thing, isn't it, Tom?
Trying to bond here. Men bonding. Men and bondage. No, men bonding. and Tom, you were saying something before that?
No.
Scraping. So the scraping's done. Did you do the scraping, Tom?
Well, I actually had my wife do it.
The way to be, Tom.
That's how we do it in Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, though. You know, it's my house too. Okay, scrape it.
She'll scrape. I'll paint.
Yeah, that's a good relationship, Tom. I love it. So, Tom and Al, you are a team right now. It's collaborative. It's democratic. It's in the best sense of all we hold dear. And what goes on from here? Steph?
So the categories.
You're Stephanie to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Stephanie.
Even though I do consider you a friend, Michael. Friend and family. Me Steph anytime you would like.
Well, thank you very much. Day or night?
Day or night? I don't know. Maybe I need a moment to consider that.
Because I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands, Steph.
So the categories that Al and Tom are going to choose from are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tom, what would you like?
Let's do things you should have learned in school.
All righty. Okay, the lanyard is what again? Lanyard. Should have learned this in school or somewhere. You hear the word once in a while, lanyard. As you're stepping on my lanyard or something like that.
But the only thing I can think of is that ID thing you wear around your neck.
Oh, that's a bolo tie, isn't it? Or is that Ebola? No, that's I don't know what that is. Lanyard. Yeah, that'd be a lanyard too, wouldn't it, I guess?
Yeah, I like what Tom is saying. It can go around your neck. People also like to sort of sew them up, perhaps at a Jewish summer camp. We used to do that.
Oh, you had me at Jewish summer camp. Yeah. All right, we'll give you that because it is ambiguous, but it's also on a ship. It's that short rope that you put it through the dead eyes there to hold your rigging.
Huh.
What it says here. I don't know what any of that means, but we probably weren't going to get that. So that would be...
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, and odds and ends.
Hold your rigging. Okay, yeah. Al?
Let's go with current events, Michael.
Current events, all right. Current events, so it's right here, okay. Okay, we got Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse in Louisville, Kentucky. The steakhouse famous for banning OJ from getting a steak there. Where do they stand on Donald Trump is the question. Jeff Ruby's. You ever been there, Tom?
No, I have not. I've been to McDonald's.
I don't think they banned anyone at McDonald's recently. So, Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse in Louisville, famous for banning OJ.
It seems to me like that might be a Trump sort of a steak-eating venue. Yeah. They might like Donald Trump.
Like him? Tom?
I think so. I think they have plastic knives, so that would probably be.
do you want to finish the sentence, or should I finish it for you? No, I'm sorry. He's banned. He's banned. The only one they banned since OJ. Trump cannot get a steak at Jeff Ruby's, and they did it particularly because he is a steak guy. So they want him to feel the burn. Okay. All right, don't worry. That's
one right, one wrong. Okay. The remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Tom?
Let's do science.
Did you open your cans of paint yet? You want to hammer them down for...
I'm sitting on the can.
There's a straight line I'm not even going to use. How do you like that? They say I have no restraint.
It was a crappy joke, but...
Tom, how would you like to take over a little comedy quiz show back in Wisconsin? You could have an opening here for you. You're pretty good. Tom, did you pick a category?
Yes, I did.
What did you pick?
I picked science.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. I couldn't get over you sitting on the can. All right. We're talking about handedness now, you know, left-handedness, right-handedness, that sort of thing in nature. Okay? You with me so far? Handedness. We're talking about the handedness of the scale-eating cichlid fish, which actually eats scales off of other fish, which is not as bad as you think, if prepared properly. And we want to know the handedness of do they bite from the right side or left side? There would be handedness in a cichlid fish, which would include the discus, the Oscar, and the humphead. Too much information? Okay.
This is something I should have learned in school.
This is science. You shouldn't have learned this ever. Except on this show, perhaps, even then. The scale-eating cichlid fish, is it a lefty, lefty-righty, or a righty? When it's eating.
I want to defer to my partner.
The humphead sounds to me like it would attack from the right, perhaps.
Whereas the Oscar would attack from the left? Is that what you're implying?
That's what I'm insinuating.
So
yes.
Then you're saying they could be lefties or righties as far as handedness goes.
I believe that's what I'm saying, Michael.
Oh, interesting, Al. Tom, you want to go along with that? Or
do a long one.
Yes, they're lefty righty. Some of them are left-handed, some of them left mouth, some of them are right mouth.
That's two right, one wrong. The remaining categories are people, places, and odds and ends.
People, places, odds and ends.
Let's go with odds and ends.
Al, you mentioned Kugels. Google, did you mention Google?
I did mention Google.
And who makes it?
My grandma used to make it. They used to make it at the aforementioned summer camp. Very good.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. Did she make it sweet, like a dessert kind of thing?
Sweet. I'm used to the sweet kind with sweet. Raisins in it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, too. It's not kosher that way, but still it's good.
No.
And then what, did you pick a category?
I did, odds and ends.
What did you say, odds and ends? Okay. More interested in you than these dumb categories. Come on. Kugel is what I'm interested in. Okay, Vladimir Putin's unusual walk is characterized by one of the following. Is it immobile right arm, occasional skip, or walks forward while looking backward? Vladimir Putin has an unusual walk.
Well.
Which of those things?
You know, he's a former KGB agent, yes, type of guy, yeah, sort of a hard case, yes, that Putin. I'm thinking maybe he has an immobilized arm from a war injury, perhaps.
You're good, man. You're good. Oh, that Tom, you want to disagree with that?
Well, I'm not sure. You can always tell by the way he uses his walk, he's a woman's man. But
I'm not going to touch that with my immobile right arm, I'll tell you the truth.
I'll go with what?
Yes, the immobile right arm, probably from KGB. That's what it says here. You're kind of a genius, Al. They win the quiz.
You can get your caffeine fix from specially roasted Wadia Novo coffee, created by Herb Brodsky and the boys at Denver's Novo Coffee, purveyors to some of Colorado's finest restaurants, coffee shops, and natural grocers. And then contemplate writing the next great American novel with Spilling Ink, a young writer's handbook by Ann Mazur and Ellen Potter, illustrated by Matt Phelan from Roaring Book Press. Tom, from Anglos in America to Letters from the Milky Way, you'll find an entire universe in Michael Feldman. Something I Said, Innuendo, and Out the Other, including the CD My Life, the Musical, from Terrace Books. Then thrill to the nostalgic sounds on the paradoxically titled CD, John Tulin, What Do You Know Trio Solo. Go on a Columbus Brew Adventures brewery tour the next time you're passing through South Central Ohio and celebrate the dramatic arts wearing a red T-shirt from The Rep in Milwaukee. Congratulations to both of you.
All right, Al, thanks very much. You're a good man. I don't care what anyone says. Tom, thanks a lot. Stay on the line so we just get an address from you and get to work.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, nice talking. So it's plural. They're done? Oh, so you guys didn't get them back there? Oh, they went all the way. Oh, good. I got them. Keep them, man. Keep them. Here's the lid.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmunch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmunch.com. Celebrate March Madness with What Do You Know? Join us at Monona Terrace for our next live broadcast on Saturday, March 19th. Michael's guest will be the Road to Little Dribbling author, Bill Bryson. More show dates and ticket information is available at notmunch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International.
Thank you all for coming. Thanks for listening.
Michael Feldman, Producer International.
Thank you.
Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Pogue, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.